The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, we've got some misty rain out there, and it's gray, and I'm just not going to let this weather get me down. We're going to have a chance of some storms tomorrow, but then it's going to be beautiful. And as I have said throughout the show, you know, a lot of people get down in this weather, but I don't let that happen to me. I mean, I kind of enjoy it. You know, it's like this in Portland a lot. I've lived in that. It's like this in Seattle. I lived in it there, and I don't mind it. As I said at the very beginning of the show, when I lived in San Diego and was on the air there, it was beautiful every day. I lived in a penthouse apartment on the beach. No air conditioning in my apartment. We had heating, because you needed heating. Every day in the summer, the high was 72 and the low was 58, somewhere in that area. It got a little warmer inland, but the weather was like perfect. It was beautiful. I grew up here. I missed thunderstorms. I missed rain. I missed seeing what we're seeing today. I missed the break. So I love this break, and I hope you will look at this as just a break in the weather and not let it get you down. And then tomorrow we'll be talking about some storms, but then it's going to be really spectacular through the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk about this Brady Bunch sweepstakes, where you have a chance to win the opportunity to spend the night in the Brady house with some of the Brady actors, some of the characters from the Brady Bunch. And they're now talking about a few private things that they remember about the show, and we'll talk about that. I wrote a blog titled CNN Conservative Condemns Late Night TV Host. And it's about Scott Jennings, a conservative voice on CNN, who wondered, you know, well, when are these late night people going to be funny again? You know, all they do is talk about politics. They're political activists. You know why he's pissed? Because there's a lot of bashing of Trump. It's not that it's bashing of Trump. It's like Trump is the target of comedy. There is no president, there is no presidential candidate who was ever not the target of comedy. Not one. Not one. So this is about being a victim. It's about playing the victim card. And it's what Scott Jennings and people like this do. All Republicans, all conservatives don't do this, but some do. And we'll call them out. And you know, Johnny Carson made fun of people. I wrote this in the blog. But Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers, and to a lesser degree, Jimmy Fallon, who's not quite as politically edgy as the others. You know, political comedy is part of their stand-up routines. That has been the role of every talk show host at night since the beginning of these shows. Donald Trump is a key figure in pop culture. That is to his credit. He's a marketing genius. So because of that, he's an easy target. He makes himself an easy target. He could just be quiet, and there wouldn't be as much said about him. But when you're such a bombastic character in society, you're going to be the target of comedy. Comedy is based on reality. And yes, Stephen Colbert and some of these people, they have their own political views, and they did not want Donald Trump to win. But with all of those jokes, Donald Trump still won. So the jokes are harmless. Donald Trump won, and that proves that those jokes are harmless. And I've always talked about that. This is not a big deal. But, you know, people are so upset. They're so, oh my God, you know, poor Trump, poor us, you know, we're made fun of. Let me share some of the comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page where this blog is posted, and you can comment on that. Here's a comment from George. It says, Johnny Carson joked about both sides of the political spectrum, but of course you, Scoot, would give just one example of a joke he told. I give an example of a joke that Johnny Carson told about Senator Joseph Biden, who was running for president on the Democratic side. George, I have limited space in the blog that I write. Yes, I give that example. But all of these talk show hosts made fun of Biden, too. The problem is that a lot of people don't hear it. First of all, if you live in the conservative media echo chamber, they're not going to tell you the jokes about Biden. They're only going to tell you the jokes about Trump so you can get mad about that. And I'm assuming you're not watching any of these shows, so you don't hear the jokes. I watch some of the shows. I know they do jokes about Biden. And we've talked about that. So they do jokes about both sides. And they did do jokes about Biden. That's not my opinion, George. That's a fact. Todd says, comedy is necessary, and some people are going to get offended, but people need to chill and lighten up a bit. I agree. Cosmos says, he has a right to be disappointed, Scott Jennings. It's a campaign of pure hatred, and that is sad to see so many Trump supporters are consumed with hatred in their hearts. And there are a few comments to that, as you can imagine. Louis says there is no comedy or anything redeeming about soon-to-be-extinct MSNBC. There is a message there. Louis, we're not talking about the cable news channels, dude. Could you kind of focus on what we're talking about? Maybe if you read the blog and not the headline. Actually, the headline says it. It's a late-night TV host. Well, I guess you didn't read the blog. Some people comment on the headline and they don't read the blog or view the video that is posted on the Facebook page. And it makes them look kind of silly when they don't do that. Chuck says, there are four shows on every night that target conservative ideals. Is that enough for you, Scott? Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Greg Gutfeld on Fox News. The guy's funny. He has funny, he has comedy people around him. He's not just funny. It's a great show. They make fun of Democrats. Should Democrats be upset about that? That's why you got to get over this. Kirk says, what presidential candidate, commenting on what I wrote in my blog. What presidential candidate has not been the target of humor? What president has escaped being the subject of political humor? Zero, none. And then he says, Obama, that's who. Kirk, are you kidding me? I mean, you're kidding, Kirk, right? President Obama was the target of many jokes. I even did a show once where we did an hour of jokes that late night talk show did about President Obama. So when you read this, I don't want to hide all these messages on my Facebook page, but when you read stuff like this, don't be afraid to comment on it. And I'll go back and comment on some of these, but Kirk is wrong. Obama was made fun of. He was the target of jokes because he's the president of the United States. So I'm right. No president has escaped being the target of comedy. Edward says, seems like people don't laugh anymore. They take it. They take life too seriously. Enjoy life. Live, love, laugh. Tomorrow is unknown. We shall never know all the good that a simple smile can do. Beauty is power. A smile is its sword. And if we can't laugh at ourselves, others will do it for us. Really good point. Anyway, you can comment, and you can comment on the comments on the SOTA Facebook page. All right, let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Hey, two things. Number one, Queensryche's playing tonight at House of Blues. So I know it's a little rainy out there. Cue another rainy night. Their big hit song there, Coleman. Now I'm joking. A little bumper music. But look, Queensryche used to play UNO. Back in the day, you know, Scoot, Queensryche was a big band, but
yeah, they were huge. They were huge. That's
House
cool.
Of Blues. They have a new singer. Jeff Tate's doing solo stuff, but yeah, Queensryche got a new singer, and they're playing the first two albums they ever did tonight in completion, from first track to last, at the House of Blues. But I really wanted to call up and say something about the you know, the status of the medical staff. I know the sports show is on at 4, but the medical staff with the Saints and the Pelicans, you know, Zion's out. You know, really, Brandon Ingram's the only guy who's been healthy for the Pelicans. Now Jose Alvarado's out for 6 weeks, hamstring after hamstring. The Saints have all these injuries this year. I just wanted to ask you, maybe you know, what's going on? Is Gail Benson like using the same staff for both, and they're like misdiagnosing these guys? What's going on? Because it's almost as if the Pelican season is over already based on all these injuries.
You know, Jimmy, I don't know. I don't think there's any reason to be suspicious about misdiagnosing anything. You know, these are sports, and there are injuries, and sometimes the injuries mount up. I would hope that the Saints are up to date with doing all they can do to keep the players of the Saints and the Pelicans healthy. I would hope that that is the case. All right, let's do the Tuesday text off. I mismanaged the clock in the last hour, so we're doing it now, and we weren't able to do it earlier. So we've got a different text off here. We've got song A and song B, and usually it's an original and a cover, and you, the audience, gets to decide which is the better song, song A or song B. And we do different things now and then. Last week we did the two big hits by Rick Astley. Which one was the better song? Never Gonna Give You Up or Together Forever, and Never Gonna Give You Up was the winner. So sometimes we do things that are a little different. The other day I thought about two incredibly iconic classic rock songs. Which one is the better song? Which one of these two songs is the better classic rock song? Song A or song B? Here is song A. All right, that is song A. And here is song B. These are two classic, iconic rock songs. Which one of these two rock songs do you think is the better rock song? Head-to-head competition. Song A, Bohemian Rhapsody, or song B, Stairway to Heaven? All right, text A or B to the Open Heart text line, 504-260-1870. Text A or B. Which one do you think is the better rock song? Text A or B to the Open Heart text line, 504-260-1870. And we'll have the results coming up right after the news. I'm sorry. We'll have the results coming up right after the break on WWL. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the Brady Bunch house. And I'm going to tell you.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You how to enter the Brady Bunch Experience sweepstakes, where you could stay with some of the stars from the Brady Bunch in the Brady Bunch house. And let's see, 2018, somebody called about this earlier, and I got some information on it. In 2018, HGTV went in and they redid the interior to match the set from the Brady Bunch. So the house looks like the Brady Bunch house on the inside now as well. And, of course, it didn't originally. So we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's get the results of our Tuesday text off. A lot of reaction to this. Thank all of you for participating. Song A and song B. Two iconic rock songs. Which was the best? A few of the comments said, not fair. A few comments said, man, this is a tough one. So I get it. These are two great songs. Song A was the loser. I mean, it's a great, great song. It is. In fact, interestingly, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1973, in Leeds, England, Queen began their very first tour. They were the opening act for Mott the Hoople. And I'm sure it didn't take them long to get status of being a major act and not an opening act. All right, Song A was the loser. It was kind of close, but this was the winner, and I agree. They're both great songs, but to me, out of the two, this is the greater rock song. And you know, it's really fascinating. I was there at a couple of those Led Zeppelin concerts back in the 70s. Robert Plant was very effeminate on stage. Not one person ever, that I remember, not one person ever thought he might be gay. I mean, he had a very strong feminine side, long, curly, blonde locks, tight hip jeans, bell bottoms, sometimes wore kind of a midriff top. And, you know, nobody thought he was gay. And today, everybody's looking to call somebody gay. I don't understand. And the very people who were part of the generation that didn't look at the feminine side of Mick Jagger, the feminine side of Robert Plant, you know, they just let that go. Hey, these are who these guys are. They had a feminine side. Man, guys loved them. I mean, not in that way, but, you know, guys loved them and accepted them. Today, it's like, oh, I think he's gay. Oh, I think he's gay. Oh, look at him. Look at the way he walks. Look at the way he dresses. Look at his hands. Look at the, you know, I don't know why people are so quick to define that today. You know what's changed? People have changed. These performers haven't changed. Well, Robert Plant has changed, but Mick Jagger still has that feminine side. So anyway, I don't know why people have changed as much as they have. All right, so there's a Brady Bunch sweepstakes where some fans are going to be allowed to sleep in the house, in the Brady Bunch house, with some of the Brady Bunch actors. Barry Williams, who played Greg, and Christopher Knight, who played Peter. They did an interview with the Fox News Digital, and they were talking about some of the aspects of the show that they just love doing. You know, in an interview a few years back with Us Weekly, Barry Williams said, quote, "We all hooked up with each other at some point, not necessarily while we were filming." Well, in the interview with Fox News Digital, he said, look, that's not totally accurate. I said that 14 years ago, and things kind of, you know, cycle around. He said, we grew up together. We, the people that we knew and we were the people that we knew and trusted. We spent more time together as a Brady family during that time of year than we did with our own families. And he said we generally liked each other, and it seemed kind of normal to show affection for each other. So he said Bobby and Cindy actually, off camera, had a fake marriage in Tiger's doghouse. I mean, they pretended to get married. He said, I dated Maureen, who played Marcia. He said, I dated Maureen. We went out. I kissed her. That was her first kiss. He said, that's the kind of hooking up I'm talking about. Now, there were rumors that Barry hooked up with Florence Henderson, who played Carol the mom, that they boinked. He didn't say anything about that. Christopher Knight said, I was a late bloomer. I was very slow. He said, I was being chased by Eve Plum. She played Jan. He said, I was chased by Eve for a number of years. And looking back on it, it was kind of embarrassing, but we didn't really hook up. Christopher Knight says that he was 12 years old when the show began. And he said the environment on the Brady Bunch set was a very warm and inviting environment. And he said he had struggles at his own household. He had struggles feeling validated. He had troubles having a voice. He struggled having a voice. And he said sometimes things felt like a burden, but he said nothing felt like that on the Brady Bunch set. And so, you know, what we're hearing as they look back is that they really felt like a family, and it came across on the air. I mean, they kind of fought like a family and they acted like a family. But think about how much time you spend at work compared to the time that you spend at home. Sometimes we spend more time at work than we do with our loved ones. And so when you're acting like a family, when you're put in a situation to where you're acting like a family, the goal is to act like a family, you know, I guess you can't help but have lines blurred a little bit where you actually kind of feel like a family or feel like you're attracted to each other. So if you're interested in spending a night in the Brady house with the Brady experience, and some of the actors will be there, I don't know, Coleman. Do you think somebody would try to make a move on?
I was wondering who did
Marsha?
Did they have any info on who Robert Reed may have hooked up with?
It would have been a young guy. Seriously, it would have been a young guy. I mean, Robert Reed would cruise West Hollywood after the show, and he would go hang out in a bar and look for young guys.
So all I caught was the reruns. Did you catch it when it was like live on the air, like when it was episodic?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so when you watched the Brady Bunch, was that your thought? Like, I wonder who's hooking up with who.
Oh, absolutely.
Because when I watched the reruns of the Brady Bunch, I never thought, like, I wonder offset who's really hooking. It never crossed my mind, but it seems like that's what everybody wanted to know. I remember they had, like, one of those cast readings at, like, a Comic-Con or something like that, and they had some of the cast of the Brady Bunch, and that was all the questions. Like, who kissed who? Like, that's it? Like, what about the comedy, the writing? Like, nope, they just want to know who's
Well,
smashed.
We know that the characters that played Cindy and Bobby had a little mock wedding. They pretended to get married at Tiger's doghouse. Brady kissed, Greg kissed, Barry Williams kissed Marsha, Maureen, and that was her first kiss. I don't know. Was that all that he did? Or, you know, did he maybe, you know, did he go second base at least?
I don't know. So how do you think the movie compared to the television show?
I thought the movies were great. I really did. I thought they were, especially just the Brady Bunch movie, the basic one. I mean, I thought the Christmas Brady thing was good too, but I thought they were good. I mean, it brought back memories for me because I was young when these were coming out. And it was fun watching them. And I always thought, you know, I wonder if Greg is knacking on Marsha, you know, when the cameras are off. And I remember the episode where Greg jump-started Marsha's menstrual cycle, which was really kind of interesting. Anyway, if you want to enter the contest.
just one last question.
Yeah.
So I remember there was a controversy, I think it was I Love Lucy, one of those TV shows where the couples slept in the same bed for the same time. So when Brady Bunch came out, was it taboo that families were divorced? Like, here's a mother that already has kids, and
it was.
Here's a daddy that already has sons. Yet, you know, because like that was that. You get what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah,
right?
No, that was divorce was not as common then as it is today. Now they slept in the same bed. And there were times when they would make some kind of suggestion of sex, and then the lights would go out, and you kind of envision what they were doing. But, you know, knowing what I knew about Robert Reed, I knew that he wasn't doing it with Florence Henderson. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And then what about Alice? You know, I mean, haircuts never lie. You know, I mean, Alice was, you know, I mean, the whole idea of Alice dating Sam was like, come on.
Yeah,
you know,
Sam was the butcher, right?
If Sam was the butcher. And let me tell you, if Alice was dating anybody named Sam, it was short for Samantha, if you know what I mean. All right, here's how you can enter. Not that there's anything wrong with that. If you want to enter the Brady Experience, here's what you need to do. Go to the website, thebradyexperience.com. I mean, that's it. You can enter by going to thebradyexperience.com. And I tell you, you know, it would be cool to see those people today. Barry Williams, who played Greg, is 70 years old today. And I mean, he still looks good, but, you know, I mean, he got older. I got older. You got older. We all, you know, we all got older. But, you know, yeah, that was a real iconic show. And it was, you're right, Coleman, it was unusual. Divorce was not as common then as it is now. And the idea that everybody, I mean, they had fights, but they basically got along. You know, I tell you what was really unrealistic. And anybody who's been in a step-parenting situation, I mean, there are exceptions. But most people who have been in a step-parenting situation know that the idea that the stepmother would come in and be a totally equal parent to the sons and the dad with the daughters, that's kind of unrealistic because you've got to, you know, in those situations where there's divorced people and somebody else's kids, it's a tough, tough position to be in. And you're really not, in most cases, I know there are some great stories out there, but in most cases, I think it's hard to be an equal parent. So that was a little bit unrealistic.
And you was talking about Barry's age today, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's this show that just came out recently called Dr. Odyssey, and John Stamos is in it. And he looks exactly the same as he did when he was in Full House.
I know.
Exactly.
You know what? He made a deal with the devil. He made a deal with Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
That's right. They made a deal with the devil. That's why they look the same. So we'll see what happens with their eternal life. All right. I'm Scoot. If you want to join us for the comment, the Okunard Jewelers talking text line is 504-260-1870. The front guy in Chic, Nile Rodgers, who is like an incredible producer. Nile Rodgers was producing Madonna, and he was part of the studio album Like a Virgin, which was number one on the album charts on this day in 1984. Like a Virgin really upset the moralist in America, and a lot of people wanted this song banned. The idea, virgin touched for the very first time, it's like, oh my God, this is horrible. But you know, I don't think this song really had any negative impact on society. It was really a reflection of what was going on in society. I'm Scoot, and we'll... On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1988, Kylie Minogue's version of The Locomotion hit number 3 on the U.S. charts. It was a song that was a top song for 3 different artists. Kylie Minogue in 1988. 1962, Little Eva did the original, which I remember listening to on my transistor radio. And in 1974, Grand Funk Railroad did a cover. Kind of surprised me that like this band that did the song I'm Your Captain, like Grand Funk Railroad, I mean they were like rock, did Little Eva, but they did a decent job with it, and I remember playing that on the air years ago. All right, I'm getting text from people who say that Mike Brady was a widower, and yeah, that does sound familiar, but Carol Brady's marital status was never known because the network didn't want her perceived to be a divorcee.
So it was taboo.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's how straight things were back in 1970. I mean, that's how straight and strict things were back in 1970. Hey, remember, you could always rewind our show. Have you done it yet? Have you downloaded the Odyssey app? Just go ahead and do it. Download the Odyssey app, AUDACY, and lock on Scoot. And you can listen back to the show. You could listen back to a specific hour, or you can just listen to the highlights. And Coleman and Ian do a great job of posting those highlights, and so that's cool. So if you haven't done it yet, download the Odyssey app. All right, so yeah, fun talking about the Brady Bunch. All right, so this controversy with the dolls from the movie Wicked, these dolls are on the market now from the toy company Mattel. The movie comes out November 22nd. And on the side of the box, instead of wickedmovie.com, they posted wicked.com. And that leads you to a porn site. How could Mattel have made this mistake? How could every speck on that box not have been inspected by even more than one person? I mean, this is kind of unforgivable. But it happened. And some people love conspiracy theories and they think, oh, this happened on purpose because they're trying to bring our children into the world of the occult. They're trying to bring our children into porn. People think that they're trying to expose our kids to porn. And, you know, maybe some people are. I mean, you got to be careful because there's some evil people out there. But I don't think Mattel is behind this. But I find it totally unacceptable that Mattel made this mistake. So they've changed it. But, yeah, instead of wicked.movie.com, it's wicked.com. You know, that's a pretty blatant mistake that went totally unnoticed. All right, today on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, we wish happy birthday to Brian Hyland. You know, look, I remember Brian Hyland. Brian Hyland, I think, is 72 years old today. 72 years old. Brian Hyland had a couple of songs. One of them was Gypsy Woman, which I thought was just a fun song, Gypsy Woman. But the song that really got everybody's attention at the beginning of Brian Hyland's career was this song. And I thought this song was like so naughty. I mean, I was like this young kid. Again, this is one of those songs that I listened to on my transistor radio. And I thought, oh my God, a bikini. And she, you know, and then there's some like sexy. I thought this song was totally sexual, even at a very young age. I mean, back in the 50s and early 60s, you know, a woman wearing a bikini was really sexual. I mean, they didn't have, you know, thongs or teabags back then. I mean, it was just wearing a bikini was considered really, really sexy.
Yeah, I wonder what they would think about the swimwear nowadays if they went to a current beach.
Yeah, what swimwear? I mean, even when they're wearing something, they're not wearing. I mean, basically, if you wear a teabag, you know, basically you're exposing your entire butt. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just making a statement. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Yeah, I mean, that's one way to look at the rain. It's going to wash all our troubles away. And remember, you know, rain makes the corn grow. Corn's used to make whiskey, and whiskey makes your girlfriend frisky. So, you know, there are good things about rain. All right, I'm Scoot. You know, another great show today. And, you know, yeah, we're going to be back. They're going to let us do it again this, let us do this again tomorrow. Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Steve Giller coming up next. It's Tulane Tuesday with the head coach, John Summerall. Tulane is ranked 25th in the country, and they take on Navy this weekend. That is a huge, huge game. I can't wait for that one. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, senior producer of our show, Ian Hoke, studio producer, Coleman, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. Thank you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Drive safely. Love you, New Orleans.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.